Welcome to Garden Talk with Dennis Hill and Mona Dyer, sponsored by Book Cliff Gardens. Here's Dennis and Mona.
Well, good morning, everyone. Along with Mona Dyer, my name's Dennis Hill, and this is Garden Talk, brought to you by Book Cliff Gardens, where we help you grow, and we're talking about gardening here in Western Colorado. If you have a question or something on your mind, give us a call, please. Number here is 245-1100-245-1100. We'll do our best to help you out. 245-1100. And judging from the folks coming in, the volume of problems people are bringing into the store, there's questions out there.
It appears so.
I think so. So, but woo-hee, hot enough for you?
Oh, my gosh.
It was oppressive yesterday. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it was 98, which wasn't unusual. Heck, we've been 97 or 98 all this past week for high. So, you know, but I felt it twice as much yesterday. And
it was uncomfortable.
And, you know, I thought, oh, it's just muggy, you know, because we've got these clouds starting a little bit of moisture going. And so that humidity makes a world of difference. I was checking the weather service, and that really muggy afternoon that we had was like at 15%. I mean, it was sultry, huh? 15%.
But we're desert rats. We are not used to that.
The people from Mississippi just shake their heads.
And roll their eyes.
I mean, 15% for them, their lips are cracking.
Yes,
I mean,
it's true.
You know, it's water. For us, it's a muggy, hot after. It really was.
It felt just ugly.
It was. It was still. There was no breeze whatsoever, no air movement. And just that bit of humidity. I don't know. I was outside, you know, a bit in the afternoon, and wow, you're feeling that
stuff. It was no good. No bueno, man.
No bueno is right. Well, my wife, Patty, she's actually back. Right now she's in Iowa attending, the daughter of her best high school friend's wedding. Sue was an only child, and this was their last daughter getting married. And so she asked Patty to come back and kind of be her sister.
Oh, you know, that's nice.
At the wedding. And so Patty got to go to the rehearsal dinner last night and stuff. And so they're getting married today. But she spent some time with a friend in Minneapolis before that. And she says, oh, the humidity. But the temperatures haven't been too bad.
Good.
You know, but the first day she was there, it had rained a lot, I guess, the day before. She says, you just had to kind of use your hands to part the air to walk.
No.
I mean,
oh, no.
It was just, we're not used to this stuff.
No, not at all.
I mean, I talk to folks. I'm a Western guy. I love, and I've always loved the desert. I think the desert is wonderful, and spent a lot of time in it as a kid and nosing around and whatnot. I like blue skies and vista.
And you can't have a blue sky with humidity.
No. I mean, Patty's family's from Illinois, actually, and we were back there a few years ago visiting, and I mean, they just live under a silver gray dome in the summertime. I mean, it's just a silver gray dome. Mm-hmm. That it is so humid and mucky out there. It's not smog, it's not pollution, it's just water vapor. Mm-hmm. And I guess you get used to it, but it was just, again, using your hands to kind of part the sea, so to speak. Oh, my goodness. It was.
We're crybabies.
I know.
We need that humidity to form droplets and actually fall out of the sky.
Yeah.
That would be lovely.
Oh, wouldn't it be, though? Yeah. I mean, heck, the East Orchard Mesa Irrigation District. They can't pull water out of the river because the water level's too low.
Goodness, I mean, sake.
And I don't know who all it affects, but I think, well, gosh, East Orchard Mesa is basically our fruit production area, the grapes, the peach trees.
The apples.
I mean, all that stuff
is
East Orchard Mesa. Well, what happens if they don't have irrigation water?
Right.
And if they can't get water in the canal and in the intakes, you know, they can't.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what in the world's
Goodness
going
sake.
On. Oh, awful. I mean, I've been praying for just rain somewhere upstream. You know, let's at least raise the level of the river a little bit. And I guess that's the only hope. I mean, we have these clouds kind of building up out on the horizons the last few days. You know, hopefully it's raining in the high country. There is some, but it's just not a real good, heavy
soak
in rain. Mm-hmm. And doggone, I would sure love to see it here. But okay, put it somewhere anyway where it can at least benefit those folks growing.
Right.
That's just hard. I mean, that is scary, really. Really scary, but unfortunately, the hot, dry, sultry, rainless weather we've been having is going to continue. I hope you've enjoyed it because there's more all week long.
Oh, aren't we glad?
I'm just your little ray of sunshine.
You are a whole bucket of sunshine.
Basically, we're 96, 97, 98 all week long. Now, there is a chance of some afternoon, evening thunderstorms, but we're talking 10 or 20%, which means, we're probably not getting much of anything. I mean, just little smattering drops. And anything that does rain, most of it's not even going to hit the ground anyway, which is unfortunate. We really need some moisture, you know. Okay, I'll take the humidity, I'll take the high temps, just let's get some stuff dropping out of the air,
mm-hmm.
onto the ground and stuff like that. But we'll see, you know. What are you gonna do?
Just complain,
whine and carp and moan and we'll see.
Oh, you big crybaby.
Me. So one thing I do want to mention is 1 week from today.
A week from today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have a party.
We do.
And you are all invited. This is just open to the public. 2018 is Bookcliffe Gardens' 50th anniversary, 50th year in business. Ed Settle started the company back in 1968. He built the first greenhouses in 1968 on our property. And actually, it wasn't a garden center. He grew greenhouse tomatoes, kind of a bit ahead of his time, you know. That seems to be the big thing today, but he was doing it back 50 years ago, and sold greenhouse tomatoes. And it wasn't called Bookcliffe Gardens; it was called Mesa Mado. And he sold tomatoes to City Market mostly, and did that for 3, 4, 5 years, and was doing okay, but not really getting ahead. And so he decided to branch out into other things. Ed was a business guy. He was looking for the opportunities, and he grew cut flowers for 2 or 3 years. Did carnations mostly, but that was kind of early 70s when that whole industry was moving overseas,
mm-hmm.
South America and Central America, Israel and stuff, and then he slowly but surely got into bedding plants and little tomato starts and petunias and stuff. And people just, they kind of grew from there. People say, well, do you have any rose bushes? And well, I'll start carrying those.
That's a good idea.
Bag of fertilizer for my lawn. And it just kind of mushroomed up from there.
Mm-hmm.
I actually started in 1980, 38 years ago.
That's been a while.
It's been a long time, and it's changed a ton.
It has.
You know? And it's been good, and we're happy, and you folks have been good to us, and we just want to thank you and just celebrate this milestone. So next Saturday from 10 until 3, we're having a party at the nursery.
Mm-hmm.
And there's free food. There's hot dogs, if you could consider that food.
Indeed.
But there's hot dogs and chips and sodas, waters and pops and stuff like that. As much as you want, much as you can eat. And we'll have some live music.
Uh-huh.
We'll have a bump and jump for the little kids.
I want to see you in the bump and jump.
I'm not in the bump and jump. We'll have even a little treasure hunt for the little kids.
Yeah, but in a big sandbox. Yep. Yeah, let them dig around.
Exactly. We'll have a face painter there.
A big bubble pad.
Lots of bubbles and stuff. So it'll be kind of cool that way. We'll have cornhole.
Yes.
A couple cornhole setups, so we can play a little cornhole. Mm-hmm. We have a frisbee golf course laid out.
Frolfing.
Yeah, we learned that yesterday from Nathan. Frolfing. It's frisbee and golfing.
Right.
Kind of
frolfing.
Squish, and the
course is all laid out.
It's the regulation 12-hole golf course.
It's got Bookcliffe spin on it.
It's a Bookcliffe regulation. Yeah. And actually, it'll be fun.
It will be.
I mean, I've not played frisbee. I played it working with kids with Young Life in the early 80s, and I don't think I've done it since.
Oh my gosh, what a hoot.
And back then it was just, okay, that tree is the next hole, or the corner of the house or something. So we have poles set up and maps, and it'll be a blast. It'll be really fun, I think. But the piece de resistance, mm-hmm. Mona's looking forward to this a lot.
A lot.
Yeah. What's that?
It's the dunk tank. Yeah. Yeah. Let's give Dennis a bath.
It's going to be a hot day. I need to cool off.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. No, we may even get you up on that
I think
seat.
Not.
Yeah. I think we'll get you on that
I
bench.
I just placed too much water.
Oh, you're speaking of me, man. Sheesh, there won't be any water left.
It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah, we did it 10 years ago.
We did.
And it was. It was a lot of fun. It really was a lot of fun. So anyway, from 10 to 3, just come on, show up, stay as long as you want.
We just want to say thank you.
That's right. Now, just so you know, let's be upfront about, we are going to, there's no cost for it, no entrance fee or anything. But we are going to solicit donations, all the money, every penny of it, is going to go to Hope West mm-hmm. Hospice mm-hmm. and Marillac Clinic.
Right, Marillac Health.
Two really good, beneficial, community organizations, local things that just help so many folks here. And so come help us, if nothing else, help them. Because they help so many of us.
They do.
Yeah. And so next Saturday, the 14th, not today, don't come today. This is a week from today, on July 14th, from 10 until 3, big party. It'll be a blast.
It will be a blast.
I think so. Yeah. And we've got a band, right?
Yes.
We're going to play off and on pretty much the whole time
uh-huh.
there.
And we've got giveaways. We've got things we're going to be giving away, prizes and like that. And it's just going to be a fun day.
Yep. No, we'll give away some of our, we got frisbees.
You know, what better way to say bags? Thank you than to feed you an old burnt up hot dog?
Mm, love that.
It's the least we could do.
I love that. Well, anyway, we're coming up on our first commercial break. Why don't we do that and get that out of the way? Folks, if you have a question, we got loads of time now. It's your chance to give us a call. The number here is 245-1100 with Mona Dyer. My name's Dennis Hill, and this is Garden Talk. We'll be right back.
Praise Him Ministries presents Night Vision 2018. Thank you, Lord. July 13th and 14th at Olathe Community Park, Olathe, Colorado. Two incredible days of music, worship, and evangelism featuring over 10 bands, including Big Daddy Weave, 10th Avenue North, Building 429. Plus, Jason Crabb, We Are Messengers, Plum, and much more. Order tickets online for just $25 per day before July 12th at praisehimministries.org. That's praisehimministries.org.
We all know Big O Tires is the place to go for a great deal on tires. But you may not know Big O has great deals on auto service, too. Right now, take $45 off a conventional oil change and one-year alignment package. Or take $50 off a coolant and transmission fluid exchange package. And if money is tight, ask about Big O's no-credit-needed financing through Snap Finance. Big O Tires, the team you trust for great service at a great price. Find even more savings at BigOTires.com.
Not on my watch, our military service members say, as they volunteer to serve. Not on my watch, they say, as they leave their families behind to keep the rest of ours safe. As they move out, stand firm, and take fire. So not on our watch, we say, to the severely ill or injured veterans who can't get the care they deserve, the therapists they need to walk again, the treatment they need to talk again, the lifetime of day-to-day help they need to live full and independent lives. When there's no more government funding, or nursing home seems like the only option, or everyone says there's no hope for recovery, we won't leave one warrior behind. Not on our watch. Find out how you can do your part at findwwp.org. Our military service members volunteer to protect us in the most dangerous places around the world. They step up. And when they are severely ill or injured, returning to their families is only the beginning of their long road home. Beyond all the hospitals and doctors and surgeries they need just to survive, they also deserve whatever they need to truly live. All the in-home care and day-to-day help they need to live independently on their own terms. Wounded Warrior Project long-term support programs were established to provide these brave men and women whatever they need to continue their fight for independence at no cost for life. So many of them need us, and it's time for a grateful nation to step up. Find out how you can do your part at findwwp.org.
What is hope? Hope to me was just that he would get to come home. I had no idea how hard it would be once he got back.
I wish she'd stop drinking so much. She thinks it's helping, but it's not. I hope she sees that soon.
I act like I don't care if he comes to my games. But I hope he does.
I used to hope he'd find happiness again. Now I hope our marriage makes it.
I hope Grandpa will get help. He thinks it's too late, but it's not.
With everything that he's going through, I hope he sees a counselor. I just want my brother back.
I hoped he'd get help. Stop hoping things would get better on their own. He told me to stop asking. I didn't. Then one day he asked for a ride.
Hope is knowing there are other families just like yours, that the veterans they love got help and recovered. Go to maketheconnection.net and turn hope into action.
News Radio 1100 KNZZ, Grand Junction. What you want.
Roseanne firing off
tweets. This live volcano.
And what you need.
Tariffs. Spies.
President Trump and Chairman Kim Jong-un.
Beat the summer heat. News Radio 1100 KNZZ. This is Garden Talk with Dennis Hill and Mona Dyer. Sponsored by Book Glyph Gardens.
Welcome back, everyone, with Mona Dyer. My name is Dennis Hill, and this is Garden Talk, brought to you by Book Glyph Gardens, where we help you grow. And we're talking about gardening here, and apparently the phones are broken because no one wants to talk to us.
No one wants to talk to us.
But if you have a question, we would love to chat with you. Give us a call. The number you can reach us at is 245-1100, 245-1100. We'll get you on and do our best to help you out. I mean, a couple things. One thing that we've seen tons of in the garden center are lawn disease samples. Mm-hmm. I mean, just running rampant throughout. I mean, people were, you know, patches of lawn started out pretty good this spring, looked okay, and it's starting to fade and yellowing and browning and kind of these big irregular patches, small, big, you know, they whatever. And, you know, it's almost always, we like to see a sample. I mean, people will bring their phones with pictures, and I can't tell specifically. There are other things that you know, it could be.
Right. We need to get our kind of get our fingers into it a little bit. So if you'll bring us a sample that is pretty good sized, right on the margin of where the problem is. We'd like to see some of the good and some of the bad.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe an 8x8 square, 4 inches deep. Think of it as a giant piece of chocolate cake, so we can see the roots and see the good and the bad frosting on top.
Not as tasty, though.
Not as tasty, but it helps us figure it out.
You're right there. No, it does. And the thing about our disease, well, we can talk more about that. But if you brought that sample out, we can verify for sure. There are some insects that can cause this, as well as, other things. And so we just like to be sure. But we have a great little sheet that we'll give you. Talk about our common fungal lawn diseases. There's three common ones. Heck, there may be more. And we don't worry that much about identifying them specifically, because they all tend to behave much the same. And our treatment approach is the same with them. And so, you know, come on by. Even if you don't bring, we'll be glad to give you a copy of that sheet. So, but we have a caller.
That's awesome.
Yes, we should talk to Chris on line one. Chris, good morning, dear. How are you?
I saved your life this time.
You are. We owe you so much.
Well, maybe you can save my smoke bush, because I've had it for about maybe 7 years,
mm-hmm.
and it finally put on some blossoms this year. A little smoke. It's the saddest smoke tree in the whole county.
Really? What's it doing?
Not much.
I mean, any leaf symptoms? Is it browning or yellowing or just doesn't grow?
It doesn't bloom.
Okay.
It comes up from several little trunks, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like a single trunk making a tree.
Right.
Well, for a while, I tried to thin it down so it would be only like 3 or 4 stalks.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think I read that that's bad for it, that it doesn't want to bloom after that. So I left it go. Now it's about maybe 8 feet tall. And a couple of the stalks are like 10 or 11 feet.
Mm-hmm.
It looks awful. Does it want to be pruned? Does it want to be thinned out?
Yes, it does. Let me tell you about smoke tree. Pruning out those other sprouts didn't affect flowering at all. That's not true.
Okay.
Yeah, but the thing about smoke tree, they are the scraggliest growing plant you can imagine. They are. They're just a Charlie Brown. Okay, and they look so much better if they're pruned regularly, at least once a year. And most people will prune them back kind of when they're done blooming, and some people will do it early, but either way, and let them flush out, and you have this nice full plant. You can kind of keep them to a certain size. Now, a smoke tree wants to get big. 10, 12, heck, I've seen them 20 feet tall, just left to go to themselves. So they will get quite large. Most people, they don't want them near that big. And so they're cutting them down. And actually, it benefits them, and it really does help with flowering and stuff. You just get more fresh new growth, and it's more vigorous, and it'll give you better flower on it. Now, I have to confess, I'm not sure whether they set flower buds on new growth or old. I think it's new growth, but I'm not positive on that. And if that's true, actually, let me backtrack. The best time to prune them would be early in the spring. You know, go in there in March and just whack them back. And what the plant will do is flush out a lot of fresh new growth. It'll thicken the plant up. It'll look good and fresh and vigorous. And then it should bloom pretty nicely for you, you know, late spring, early summer. I mean, they're kind of doing it now. They'll be petering out if they haven't already started here pretty soon. And that's kind of how I would go after it. Plus, it just helps to keep the plant in bounds. I mean,
when smoke tree or smoke bush is growing, think of it like a 13 or 14 year old boy. You get these long shoots. It doesn't grow evenly. Like, just like a boy will get great big ears, and then later the rest of his face catches up, or he'll get giant feet, and then the rest of him catches up.
I'm still waiting for that.
As am I, sir, as am I. These bushes, they get these, like a growth spurt in different parts of them,
and so
they look gangly and gawky. So pruning it back a little bit to kind of keep it in bounds, you can do that with a smoke bush. It's ill-advised on a teenaged boy.
you still need to whack him once in a while.
Thank you, Chris. That's exactly right.
Every once in a while, yes. A whack here and there really does no harm.
Oh, my gosh. But, okay. You know, as far as no bloom, I mean, it may just be that pruning them will help. I mean, although the big plants that have just kind of people have let go have bloomed reasonably well. I think you get a much thicker, nicer, fuller bloom if you are cutting them back because you have much nicer, thicker new growth coming out. And that just gives you more flowers, more smoke, as it were. So do that. The only other thing would be excessive shade can affect flowering. If it's in kind of a shady spot, okay. Then the other thing is excessive nitrogen fertilizer. If it's really getting a lot of nitrogen, the plant uses nitrogen to grow. If it makes foliage it's great in the lawn because that's what you're growing. And all plants need nitrogen, but too much of a good thing. Sometimes it just goes nuts in its growth and it doesn't have any energy left for flower. I doubt if that's pretty uncommon, but those are the only two things I can think of that might explain. I think this is a pruning thing, actually.
I think it'll get some whacking after it blooms.
Okay.
All right.
And then maybe again in the spring, back in the shape I want.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and when you're pruning them back, Chris, take it slowly, take it gradually. Don't level the plant in one fell swoop. That can be real stressful for it and sometimes to the plant's ultimate detriment. No more than one third of the plant should be cut off at any one time.
All right. I would also ask about gourds. Have you ever grown bottleneck gourds?
I have not. Have you grown them, Dennis?
It's been about 50 years ago. I was in high school living at home and I grew gourds, yeah.
I've got a whole arbor full of them now.
Yeah. Oh, fun.
And the little babies come on. They're so cute. And they grow 4 inches. The vine itself grows like mad.
Right.
Wow. It's just wonderful. I've named each of the babies.
Oh.
Good for you. Good for you.
Thank you for your show. I really enjoy listening to you.
Chris, thank you for calling, dear. You take care.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I mean, Patty and I have some dear old friends, and Greg's a musician really a talented musician. And Greg has always tinkered with building musical instruments.
Mm-hmm.
And has spent a lot of time with different music, you know, he's not making violins or guitars or cellos, although he's done some of that. And he went through a phase. I remember we went out over to their house and he was making musical instruments out of gourds.
Oh.
And he would take these gourds and he would shape them. I mean, he would do these really crazy things. He'd want maybe a long neck here and a big bulb there and stuff. And he would, as the gourd grew, you know, he'd put a little piece of maybe PVC pipe over it that would kind of squeeze that section down as it grew up, and bulge out or play. I mean, he did all kinds of manipulative things.
Wild.
With them. Yeah, and then dry them and hollow them out and cut holes and string them up and
my word.
It was fun. I mean, he really did. I mean, there is a gourd society.
There is
here
the Calabash.
Town. Yeah, the Calabash. You come at the nursery. A lot of folks are just struck by we have this wall hanging up kind of to the door into
it's
the office.
It's glorious.
It really is cool. And they, all the members did that. They each did one or two of these little panels, little squares, and they're all kind of then hooked together and
like
whatnot.
Like a big quilt.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's right. And it's all out of gourds, and they decorated
it's
it themselves.
Beautiful.
And it is. It's just cool. And these people, that's what they do. They just have so much fun, and the variety of gourds is wild. I mean, it's crazy wild. And Patty got some from a friend last fall, and Sue, John, her husband, John's an attorney who is a frustrated farmer. He was born to be a farmer.
I see.
But it didn't pay well enough. So John loves, he has a great big garden, and he got into gourds like, oh my goodness, these weird mutant alien creatures. I mean, it just horns and thing. I mean, it's weird. The colors and it was wild. They were pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they're just amazing. And then they crossbreed and you get variations between the two.
Right, and then even the way that they're cured out.
Yeah.
Some people like to lay them all out flat so that they are, nice and smooth. Other people want them to get a little bit of like moldiness on them because that puts some color and some markings on the dried gourd as it goes along. There's a lot that goes into getting these things cured out so that people later can use them for something.
Oh yeah. And these people, they make little boxes and jars and baskets and bowls and stuff. And they use wood burners and they carve and they stain and paint. And
last year for Christmas, I found a friend of mine, Julie, was just getting into gourds. And I asked her, please, if she would make special things for my family members called a thunder gourd. And so it's a great big gourd that has a special kind of material affixed to the bottom of it with a particular kind of spring that comes out the bottom. You shake that gourd, and I swear to you, it sounds like thunder.
Oh, wow,
in the
really?
Distance. It is awesome.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, thunder gourd. Crazy. Yeah. Like the crack of the thunder and then the rumble.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, they're awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah, a thunder gourd.
Thunder gourd, yeah. I mean, and they are. They come in such crazy, and there are huge ones.
Yeah, giant.
There are great big gourds.
We could hide you in a gourd.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Big gourd.
That needs to be a big gourd. Very big gourd. Well, we're about time for our last commercial break. So let's get that out of the way. And we'll have about 15 minutes to go when we come out of the break. Folks, we'd love to talk to you. If you have a question or just something you want to share with us, give us a call. The number here is 245-1100, 245-1100 with Mona Dyer. My name's Dennis Hill, and this is Garden Talk. We'll be right back.
Dry shafts, U-joints, differentials, transfer cases. You don't think much about them until they break. Hi, this is Mark at Driveline Service. We specialize in all those important parts that get the power to the wheels. We do everything from repairs and rebuilds to heavy-duty and race applications, along with preventive maintenance to stop problems before they happen. From gears to rears, call Driveline Service, 243-0263, or visit us at 2220 East Main, just east of the Glass Brokerage.
Simplify, beautify, and save. during the 4th of July sale at Bassett Furniture. Save on Bassett's exclusive bench-made furniture for every room in your home. Simply handcrafted, simply solid, and simply beautiful, Benchmade is an authentic American original. Come in and take advantage of 25% store-wide savings, plus special 12-month financing with a qualifying purchase. The 4th of July sale is going on now at your locally owned Bassett Furniture, 325 West Gunnison and Grand Junction. Bassett, quality without compromise.
An ordinary trip can become an ordeal. If you're snowed in, stuck, or stranded, you need to be prepared. Patriot Survival Supplies carries pocket stoves, water filters, solar lights, and everything you need to handle the toughest situations. Patriot Survival Supplies, 7th and Patterson.
1100 KNZZ, dependable weather.
Chance of showers and thunderstorms for Saturday, Grand Junction and Delta, 95. Montrose, 92. Continued chance of storms in the evening, 69. Sunday could see storms in the afternoon, 93. More on Monday, 95.
This is Uncommon Moments. Here's former Super Bowl winning NFL coach Tony Dungy and his wife Lauren sharing from their book, Uncommon Marriage.
After winning Super Bowl 41, I thank God on the victory podium. CBS announcer Jim Nance asked me about being the first African-American coach to win the Super Bowl, and while I told him I was proud to represent so many coaches of color who had gone before me, that night was for Indianapolis. And I was also glad we won while doing things in what we believed was the Lord's way, embracing family and the things that truly mattered.
That was special for Tony, for the Colts, and for us as a family. It was a reminder to me that the Lord will bless whatever platform we happen to have, as long as we give it to Him for His glory.
Tony and Lauren Dungy, authors of Uncommon Marriage, learning about lasting love and overcoming life's obstacles together. Discover more at CoachDungy.com.
Has your child swallowed your medicine, your laundry detergent, your nail polish remover? Call the Poison Helpline. Have you inhaled paint thinner, glue, pesticides? Call the Poison Helpline. Have a question about a dose, a fume, something your kid just drank? Call the Poison Helpline. Poisonings can happen at the home, on the job, or in the great outdoors. Call the Poison Helpline first for fast, free advice from medical professionals. Call 1-800-222-1222 anytime, anywhere. 1-800-222-1222. Save the number, save a life. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen McHugh. While awaiting the big announcement from the president, Democrats are already voicing opposition to his next Supreme Court pick.
So please tell anyone who isn't fired up yet what is at stake. Tweet, post, march, call and write your elected officials. The more you make your voice heard, the harder it will be for Senate Republicans to support a justice who will take our country backwards.
Senator Patty Murray of Washington delivering the weekly address. That announcement from the president happens Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern. Weather watchers keeping track of a tropical depression off the Carolinas.
Might potentially become a hurricane moving away from land, but it is going to make for some really rough seas over the next couple of days. So if you are going to the beaches, especially out across the Outer Banks, watch for some rip currents. We could see those even across parts of the Northeast as well.
Fox meteorologist Rick Reichmuth. Fox News, we report, you decide.
I need local news for...
to stay informed.
Yeah, stuff that's going on around me.
Depend on us for local news updates all day.
Local news.
News Radio 1100, KNZZ. You're listening to Garden Talk with Dennis Hill and Mona Dyer. Thanks for listening. Sponsored by Book Cliff Gardens.
Well, welcome back, everyone. Along with Mona Dyer, my name's Dennis Hill, and this is Garden Talk, brought to you by Bookcliff Gardens, where we help you grow. And we're talking about gardening here in Western Colorado, in hot Western Colorado. If you have a question, problem you're kind of puzzled about, please give us a call. We'll do our best to help you out. The number here is 245-1100, 245-1100. We'll get you on and do our best to help you out. 245-1100. You know, it seems like, I mean, we talked a little about lawn disease before the break and whatnot. And one thing that I can say with our common diseases, we have a great fungicide that does a good job. But the truth of the matter is that this isn't a fungus problem. This is a stress problem. That's why lawns develop the disease. The fungus is always there. It's in every single lawn across the valley. But as long as the grass is strong and healthy and robust and hardy, it defends itself quite effectively against us. It never gets a toehold into the lawn. It's just when that lawn gets kind of tipped off balance that things run off the tracks. And most of the time, 95 out of 100 times, maybe more, I don't know, that problem, that stress comes from how it's being watered, how the lawn is being watered. Now, the immediate stress is almost always drought. It's just not getting wet or getting wet often enough or getting wet deeply enough or whatever it is. And so I have spent a lot of time this past week talking to folks about watering
mm-hmm.
and how to water and the best way to do it and stuff like that. And it is a boring topic. It isn't as exciting as the new perennial favorite or, you know, this amazing flowering tree.
But
it's
exciting if your lawn is sick.
If you can get watering down, you are 90% mm-hmm. of the way to being a great gardener.
That is true.
It really is. And the rest of it, it's just kind of fluff and window dressing and all. And it's about watering, especially in a climate and with soils like we have. Mm-hmm. And it can be tricky. I mean, it's understandable that people would struggle a little bit with this. I mean, you know, you live in Ohio, they go, what watering? I didn't know you watered plants. Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. And we've got to manage that because it's not coming out of the sky. And talked to an old friend, in fact, yesterday, and he was in and talking, and he's a lawn freak. I mean, Doug is all about the lawn,
the green grass,
the green carpet, mm-hmm. and there's no weeds, and it's beautifully mowed and even and emerald green and whatnot. Well, now he's got some patches and spots and stuff like that that are yellowing up a little bit, and he's losing sleep over this. So we talked a little bit about it. And so I asked him, my first question usually to folks when we're kind of trying to figure it out is, well, how you watering? What's going on? And he's watering twice a day, every day.
Wow.
Yeah. And the truth of the matter is that, you know, and I'll tell folks how I water. You know, I give my lawn a good soaking twice a week and Sunday and Thursday.
Mm-hmm. It,
nothing special about those days, just twice a week. But when I water, I am really working to get a good, deep soak. And I know lots of folks that water even less, water once a week. In fact, I am sitting next to one right here.
Once a week.
You water your lawn once a week.
Mm-hmm. Once a week.
But how do you, I mean, do you?
It runs, we've got the big Rainbird sprinklers.
Yep.
And the water will run minimum 2 hours.
Yeah.
Sometimes we'll let it go 3 or more.
Yeah.
And when we're finished watering, it is wet at least 12 inches down.
And that's what you're after.
Wet.
That's what you need.
The root system on our, in the front lawn, the root system is 9 inches deep. How do I know that it's 9 inches deep? Because it takes 2 strikes with a chef's knife to get down through the roots to find where a sprinkler system leak is.
Oh, wow.
It takes 2 cuts with the full blade of a chef's knife to get through it.
Kind of hurt my feelings treating a chef's knife that way.
Well,
no, I'm a knife freak in the kitchen.
It was the handiest tool available.
Oh, my goodness. And I had a poor knife. Have you thought about your knife?
I had a baby green elephant under my lawn.
Oh, for that 1 year, yes.
No, this was 3 weeks ago.
Oh,
it happened again.
Oh, my goodness.
And, yeah, nine.
Leak and bulging the lawn
and
up.
It looked like a little green elephant out laying in, nine inch root system on the turf.
You leap on top of it and stab it with that knife.
And listen to the cars honking as they go by because I'm rolling around in the mud with a knife stabbing at the grass. Yes.
911, what's the nature of your emergency?
Crazy lady in the grass.
Yeah, that's
crazy
right.
Lady. Oh, my God.
But You know, and often when I start talking to folks is that I'm not talking about them watering any less than they are. I mean, if we added up the total minutes that they ran their sprinklers, a lot of times that's right about where I would be looking mm-hmm. at. I'm talking about just repackaging those minutes.
How is it being delivered?
Exactly. And so instead of doing lots of frequent short squirts, it's less frequent long soaks, mm-hmm. okay? Now, I have tried to stretch my lawn watering to once a week. I have tried, and I just couldn't stretch that far. Okay, so that's just the way it is. And mm-hmm. everyone's going to be a little bit different. It depends on the specific soil type and soil preparation or lack thereof and exposures and the type of grass and mowing and blah, 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 blah. There's a lot of factors, and you shake it all together and out pops your watering schedule. Mm-hmm. But the thing we talk about is deep and frequent. And so soaking it down a good 12 inches is absolutely right. And I'll tell folks, you do some poking in the dirt. Uh-huh. Get the shovel out there. Get a big, long probe.
Open it up and see how deeply did the water penetrate.
I mean, I like to see it. A lot of, you know, it's a bit more work, but because I can be sure. Mm-hmm. And dig down there after you've watered. You know, give it an hour maybe after the sprinkler's shut off for it to fully soak in. And how deep, how far down did that water penetrate? And I'm not talking about moist soil. I'm talking muddy.
Mud.
You know, soggy. You just watered. I mean, it should be a little sloppy mm-hmm. down there. And if it's not, it needs to be run longer. And you know, the types of sprinklers you have. You have those impact heads, those mm-hmm. old Rainbird things. I have spray heads, pop-up spray heads. They put water on those two different types of heads at radically different rates. A pop-up spray head will put on water 2, 3, 4 times faster than an impact type head. Mm-hmm. And what that means is that the impact head has to be run 2 or 3 or 4 times longer to get the same amount of water. I mean, what's unfortunate, I get people and they turn a valve on and they've got both types of sprinklers going. And so you're either going to overwater with the spray heads or you're going to underwater with the impacts. Mm-hmm. And really the only solution true is to redo that system or, you know, somehow separate it, add heads, take away the impacts or, you know,
it needs
or
to
make
be,
it all imp-
it needs
it,
to
all
be
one
sorted.
Or all the other.
It needs to be sorted out.
Exactly. Zone the system for the different types of sprinkler head but it's about watering it well and if you can get that right. I mean, almost every single sample that people are bringing in, I you know, 80% of them, you know, they have this nice, you know, foot square of turf and half brown, half green. You're that's Askechyta or dollar spot or whatever it is, although that doesn't matter because they all behave about the same. And so, okay, now the next thing is what's wrong? Why is this grass not as happy? And I will take that sample and I'll flip it upside down with the dirt up. And people will look at that and I'll say, what do you think? And they go, wow, that's really dry. I said, there's your answer. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's often that simple.
Sure.
It's just that simple. I've harped on it before. I'll harp on it again right now. We assume how much moisture the soil has. We assume how wet or dry the soil is. And the honest truth is that we have not a clue. We have no idea. We don't know until we get down there and look.
Have to dig.
Yeah.
Need
it's getting plenty of water. I hear that a lot.
Every day.
And I go, okay, great. That's plenty of water. I don't care. Is it getting down into the soil? It's about soil moisture, and what's the water pressure? What's the head spacing? Do you have slopes? And
you
stuff?
May think it's plenty of water, but obviously the grass does not.
And I've preached this sermon forever, right? I still do it myself in my own yard. Oh, I know there's plenty of water. It gets plenty of water, you know. And I get lawn diseases show up in my grass. And, oops, got to eat those words, you know, digging down. Anyway, folks, it's been fun. Come see us. Bookcliff Gardens, we're on 1st Street, a mile and a half north of Patterson. Big party a week from today.
Come see us.
Bye-bye.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
I feel badly for people that struggle to hear when they're spending time with family. Maybe it's a particular voice, too many voices, or simply too much background noise. That's what I'm here for, to help you enjoy that time with your family. I'm Pamela Krebs, owner of Pinnacle Hearing Aid Center. I want to help you find the right hearing solution to fit your lifestyle and your budget. Call me today at 970-628-4927 to schedule your free consultation.
Pinnacle Hearing Aid Center, trustworthy, compassionate, and dedicated to your care.
Summer is in full swing in Western Colorado, and it's time to get outside. At The Brickyard, we have everything you need to make your backyard your favorite room in the house. From pavers and retaining walls to grills and outdoor furniture, we've got it at The Brickyard. Thinking about a remodel? Come see our showroom on North Townsend, just 2 miles north of the airport in Montrose, and choose from hundreds of stone veneer and brick. We can help design your patio with pavers, walls, and fire pits. We have what you need at The Brickyard in Grand Junction and Montrose.
Are you ready to stop, drop, and roll this summer? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. We only have so many summers to make memories with our kids before they leave the nest. So with school out, give your kids your best. First, stop being connected 24/7 to work. Give yourself permission to be disconnected from work so you can be reconnected with your kids. Second, drop the phones, tablets, and other tech that keep you from your family. Set daily times, especially when you're on vacation, when you'll be tech-free. Finally, roll with the punches. Our summer plans rarely go off without a hitch, so be flexible and be available for your kids. For more tips, visit my blog at markmerrill.com. Remember, your family first.